Well, it's our last afternoon. And it's hard to believe, actually. And I think we've lived to tell the tale. This is quite remarkable. Yesterday was such a big day that it's been really wonderful to have a very quiet day to follow up. Give us a chance to sort of quiet down a bit and take in what actually took place yesterday. And go on. Proceed as way opens, as the Quakers say. It's it's not that we're over yet, but we're close. And I must say, this has been a remarkably quiet session. I think some of it has to do with the size. That we're just, I think, the best size for a session. Just enough to make this circle. And also, there was a real dedication that each of you brought to this that made it not so difficult to be quiet. There are times when what we bring to Sesshin is just hard enough that it's too hard to keep from distracting ourselves in some way. And I think through the years we learn also that we'll survive even without talking. And that we'll be okay even if we don't have to project ourselves and be somebody all the time. In fact, it's quite wonderful to begin to feel how relaxing and freeing it is just to be without having to be somebody. Then we can meet whatever situation arises with authenticity. Meet it according to it, rather than trying to force something. That way we learn a great deal, because we don't quite know until we really deeply encounter what's before us and allow it to come in. So there's one little bit left of Dogen. Well, not of Dogen, but of this little chapter. Glad I found that. So this is how he sums it up. Sums up the way is not a matter of knowing or not knowing. A teacher of old said, chopping down or dropping away is nothing other than chopping down. Moving about is beyond discussion. Mountains, rivers, and earth are the entirely revealed body of the Dharma King. This is it. The whole thing is the whole thing. A person of the present should study this phrase of the teacher of old. There is a Dharma king who understands that the body of the Dharma king is not different from chopping down or dropping off. Just as mountains are on earth, and the earth is holding up mountains. When you understand, a moment of no understanding does not come and hinder understanding, and understanding does not break no understanding. Instead, understanding and no understanding are just like spring and autumn, the wind of spring and the voice of autumn, the mind of spring and the voice of autumn. However, when you do not understand, the pervasive voice of Dharma does not reach your ears. In the midst of the voice, your ears dally about. But when you understand, the voice has already reached your ears. Samadhi has emerged. Spring and autumn have been practicing at the top of their voices. Know that no understanding cannot be discerned by a self. The Dharma King's understanding is just like this. In the Dharma King's body, the eye is just like the body, and the mind is the same as the body. There is not the slightest gap between mind and body. Everything is fully revealed. Similarly, you should understand that in illumination and discourse, the Dharma King's body is revealed. That's what we've been doing, illuminating and discoursing for 7 days, 6 days. This is the Dharma King's body. There has been a saying since olden times, no one except a fish knows a fish's heart. No one except a bird follows a bird's trace. Yet those who really understand this principle are rare. To think that no one knows a fish's heart or a bird's trace is mistaken. You should know that fish always know one another's heart, unlike people who do not know one another's heart. But when the fish try to go up through the Dragon Gate, which is a huge rapids in a mighty river, they know one another's intention and have the same heart. Or they share this heart of breaking through the 9 great bends of the same great river. Those who are not fish hardly know this. Again, when a bird flies in the sky, beasts do not even dream of finding or following its trace. As they do not know that there is such a thing, they cannot even imagine this. However, a bird can see the traces of hundreds and thousands of small birds having passed in flocks, or traces of so many lines of large birds having flown south or north. Those traces may be even more evident than the carriage tracks left on a road or the hoof prints of a horse seen in the grass. In this way, a bird sees birds' traces. Buddhas are like this. You may wonder how many lifetimes Buddhas have been practicing. Buddhas, large or small, although they are countless, all know their own traces. You never know a Buddha's trace when you are not a Buddha. You may wonder why you do not know. The reason is that while Buddhas see these traces with a Buddha's eye, those who are not Buddhas do not have a Buddha's eye and just notice the Buddha's attributes. All who do not know should search out the trace of the Buddha's path. If you find footprints, you should investigate whether they are the Buddha's. On being investigated, the Buddha's trace is known. And whether it is long or short, shallow or deep, is also known. To illuminate your trace is accomplished by studying the Buddha's trace. Accomplishing this is Buddha Dharma. So this is about Sangha. Fish understand each other. Birds understand each other. Human beings have a very hard time understanding each other's way. We are so focused on our independence that we very often lose the sense of our total dependence on each other. Our dependence on life itself. In fact, we're not doing it. In the widest sense, it's doing us. I remember once, many years ago, coming out of Sachin and seeing a whole flock of birds just go tearing across the sky, all of them together and all of them going in the same direction, as if they'd consulted with each other and decided how to go together. It's always the most remarkable thing to see that. It's not clear still to science how they communicate in that way. But I think we know, we who practice, because that same direction is what keeps us here in the Zendo together, that brings us here together to practice. Our independence becomes dependent on each other. Our life itself becomes one with others in a way that helps us to see our traces and see how our traces and others are the same. We're going the same way. And this by itself is a tremendous power for life, bringing into life a treasure, you could say. In fact, literally a treasure, it's one of the triple treasures, the three treasures of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So as Sangha itself, we're like those little juncos out there this afternoon that seem to know when it was time to go. And they all went. And they know when it's time to sleep and when it's time to awaken, and they do it together. So this is another way of talking about how the earth and we ourselves are the same. How the mountains and the rivers and the trees and all things don't just belong to each other, but are aspects of each other. Having the Buddha eye simply means having the courage to sit down and see clearly how things are. It means seeing through the superficial ideas, the notions that we have, the beliefs that we have, examining them carefully, respectfully, but being willing to drop them off at the drop of a hat if they don't taste right, smell right, don't have a meaning that serves. So the ability to see and the opportunity to see with the Buddha eye is what we cultivate. It's our work to see through and to see how things are, and to deeply appreciate what we see, to marvel. Marvel that we're here together. And then, of course, we separate, which it looks like the birds don't do, but in fact, we don't do separation. Once we come together like this, we're never apart. And we know that. It's so clear. If we've known each other for many, many years, it's so obvious. It doesn't matter how many years apart we are. As soon as we come back together again, it's all there. Paula and I had that. We sat next to each other as very young people at Hidden Villa, next to the door. And it was just one session, but we never forgot. And here we are, and it's like nothing ever happened in between. And for many of us, this is the way it is. And it's such a gift. Such a gift of the richness of human connection, which is all that we have, all that we are. So I'm feeling a tremendous amount of appreciation today for our practice, for this particular session, and how so fine it has been. It's a great honor to share this space and this time. So we may have some leftover things to talk about before we separate today. Dennis?
I was going to say something about what you just read.
Okay.
If it's time for housekeeping, I can wait.
Oh, it's not time for housekeeping at all.
At Cornell University... At one of the athletic fields, there's a large structure that holds a bank of all the lights that illuminate an athletic field.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back, it looks kind of like the back of a billboard, and there's kind of a catwalk. And they have mounted a couple movable cameras, you know, from remote control.
Mm-hmm.
And every year, a mated pair of red-tailed hawks mm-hmm. on a nest that looks like it's almost as permanent as the
yes.
structure now.
Yes.
Raise a brood of chicks right in front of your eyes, and you can watch them 24 hours a day. Well, at night it gets pretty dark, but the cameras are still
on. They have the cameras on it.
So, actually, I don't know how the chipmunk population in the area of Cornell University survives. But in any event, these two, male and female, mm-hmm. take turns sitting on the apes. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty brisk at the time of year they raise them.
Oh, I bet.
Windy, cold, rainy, mm-hmm. snowy. They know exactly when to keep the eggs warm, and then they'll kind of cool them off a little bit and go get another 40 or 50 pounds of chipmunk and do the whole thing with an utter lack of self-awareness.
Yes.
But seamlessly done.
Yes.
And maybe you can help me with the story. What I heard in there was about halfway through, you mentioned, when you started talking about fish and birds, mm-hmm. he said something, I think, like, but people cannot do this. And to me, he was addressing the challenge that, unlike the red-tailed hawks of Cornell, who mm-hmm. do not have self-awareness, we do.
Yes.
And that this particular challenge or hurdle, well, what I mean to say is when we come together here at this Jikoji, in this beautiful room, in this amazing Sangha, we are afforded an opportunity together to deal with that thorny issue of self-awareness,
yes.
which is a blessing and a curse at once.
Mm-hmm.
And through our practice, from getting out of our beds in the morning to Zazen to Orioki to everything we do, work period, deal together with surmounting, if you will, the issue of self-awareness, which begs separation,
mm-hmm.
and finding, like the red-tailed hawk and the fish, the,
exactly.
the traces.
Exactly. That's exactly what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We have a red-tailed hawk at City Hall in San Jose, and it's the same thing. They put the
peregrine falcon.
Oh, it's falcons. Thank you. Wendy knows them well. They have a camera on them, too, and they raise a brood every year. Yeah.
It's, if you are the least bit interested, I would recommend something like that because it is...
Yes.
Is it pretty close up? Can they...
Yes.
If they can zoom right in and they zoom, and then sometimes they'll scan the area so you can see where they're flying to.
Yeah.
It just, I don't want to say more about that. It's just really cool.
It makes you feel like a hawk
mm-hmm.
or a falcon. You just become one of them.
Or a fledgling.
Or a fledgling, yes. Exactly.
There was a documentary about a red-tailed hawk in New York City who took up residence at the high-rise where Woody Allen has a condo. And the residents hated him being there. It was defacing the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But the challenge the fledglings had there is that they were, 10 or 20 stories up, so it wasn't like they were in a tree in a park, and if they, you know, the wings didn't
yeah.
work, they just... But they filmed that over, I don't know, 6 years, 80 or something like that. Do you know that?
But they learned to fly in any case, even that
well,
high.
I they only showed the success story.
Okay. Yeah. Don Lynn.
So,
reflecting on Yuji, I believe, time being,
mm-hmm.
or being time, which is Dogen, again, and it's really interesting, too, as the awareness of self during a week, getting people together, and how I feel, you know, earlier in the week, I think, oh, my God, what am I doing here? I'll never make it to Friday. And then about Wednesday, Thursday, oh, I could do it another week or so. I'm getting used to it. Why is it ending, you know? And But really getting or feeling with the bells and the periods and the periods of hot and cold and pain and comfort and dreams and clarity and this whole thing about being time and how it gives me a little bit of insight into being time. There's just so many assets to a shishin. I think Wendy and I, and I'm sure many people in here, we always have a hard time explaining to spouses and other people, you know, what are you going to do for a week? You know, oh, we're on a retreat. Oh, you've come home so relaxed. It's just, you can't, again, you know, it's so hard to, for me still, it's pretty hard to just say, what is it? What happened?
Well, as Coben always said, don't think that the people you left behind at home are not practicing. Mm-hmm. That they've been practicing just as hard and supporting our practice as we have suffered and found joy in this space together. They're with us. All together. David?
Something I heard when you're from the reading today that I hadn't heard before. I think I understood it. It said, when I understand, don't remember quite the phrasing, but understanding the Dharma, when not understanding comes, it does not interfere with understanding.
Yes. Yes.
That helps me.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. I keep forgetting what I understood a little bit. And then it turns into all non-understanding. And so it's encouraging to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. Zach?
It just reminded me of something that Tim McCarthy always reiterates with me when I'm so frustrated with my zazen and how distracted I am. And he says, realization includes ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you have to get rid of or eliminate. Realization is so big it includes your,
yes,
your ignorance. And
the mess.
The mess. Yeah.
Yes. You can't get rid of it. The harder you try, the more it becomes messy.
Ian said it's like a hornet's nest. It's like you're digging in there.
That's right.
It's just more hornet's.
Yeah, comes more and more. Yeah.
I also wanted to take this opportunity just to invite anybody who's interested to sit yaza with me tonight. I'm not sure how late I'll go, but if anybody wants to come and sit zazen after we're done.
Mm-hmm.
The hobo sleeping out on the deck would like to mention that the light for the outside, Zach, is in the Chidin room. The lights in here are obviously right there on the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
But the outside light on the deck, it's not intuitive, but it's inside next door in the Chidin room.
Okay.
Would you say that again, David? The line, would you paraphrase that again?
It's beautiful. I hate to paraphrase it, but it's saying, understanding the Dharma, when non-understanding comes, it does not interfere with understanding.
So that kind of is also suggesting that one day on September 28th, when you're sitting there minding your own business and you have a moment of awakening, that ain't it. It's ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you.
It is.
And it's a forever thing.
It's a forever thing.
I'm there. Well, the moment just passed.
Well, in one sense, you're always there. And you always have been. And in another sense, these experiences that we have come and go. Hawk Winds Zenji said, we have maybe one or two great experiences if we practice hard in our life, and maybe many, many small ones. He said, but don't get stuck on any of them, because then you there isn't room for the others. Then you just stop. So the point is to drop whatever your experience has been and let it inform you, but don't hold on to it. Let it go. Just like everything else. Just appreciate it and then go on to whatever is actually happening, which isn't that. Sadiq?
I love the phrase that enlightenment is an accident. And our task in practice is to become accident prone.
I don't know that one, but that's a good one. Yeah. Where's the cliff I can fall from? Or the 10,000-foot pole? That's the truth of it. Kiss yourself goodbye.
A couple of days, somebody asked about, in their sangha, they were talking about action, and you respond out in the world, I guess. And you said something, you need to get your own house in order, kind of see yourself clearly before that happens. And I think of, I'm always feeling threatened by Dogen's Fukan Zazen Giri. He says, dear honored, this was sort of gentle compared to when the reading you did today. Dear honored friends of Zen, you've been given this human body. Who would be foolish to waste a flint, a fire, or whatever? And, don't waste time. And that just, I just get so distracted. My time management is so bad that I figure I can never, ever go see another movie or play or go dancing. It's like I need to stick on the path, but I don't think it is quite like that. I've heard a little more of it. Would you comment?
I think movies are okay. Not to worry. Most of them are lousy, but now and then you find a good one.
But that urgency, I feel like I've become, I'm more gravitas and less, a balance, I think. But there's always that Fukan Zazengi in the back of my mind, and I don't know.
That's
I feel like there's richness out in life too.
Of course, he was addressing mostly monks.
Yeah, I know.
So we're living temporarily living a monk's life, and then we walk out and become ordinary people, so-called. But so then we have to find our own balance between the two, because we still want to maintain our practice in the so-called world. Because that's the truth of it. But it also means that we're not living like a monk anymore when we're not out of the Zendo. And so there are things that we do that we wouldn't do here. And as long as we're recognizing it and having some modesty and control over what we do, and that's okay. It just means we need to pay close attention to how things are.
And just thank you. The other thing I wanted to say is I think I met you in Willits about mid-80s or late-80s, and I don't think it was first with Steve Kais inviting up. I think you came to the Environmental Center with another lady and talked about as a Buddhist peace fellowship.
I think think you're right.
In other words, you were acting, you know, in that capacity.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't a monk then. Yeah.
And it was at Joanna Macy, I don't know, somebody from Berkeley and forestry stuff.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's too long ago.
I'll think about it.
That's what happens when we live geographically in more or less the same space. We keep coming across each other. Zach?
I just wanted to contribute to what Abby was saying. And I think even in a monastery, because when I was living at Tassajara, I was talking to Tonto about how I get that same sort of urgency, this almost like fueled by existential dread of don't waste a moment of your life, life is fleeting. I was expressing this to him because even in the monastery, there's days off and there's times I said, oh, I'm so freaked out, I'm going to die and I have to do all this. And he said, Zach, relax. All that means is just show up to Zazen.
Yeah.
Take it easy. Like, show up to
Zazen
when we hit the Han. That's all they're saying.
Right. Beautiful. No problem.
Thing, I have to leave very early in the morning tomorrow, so I just wanted to say thank you to all of you for the support and loving and kindness and this wonderful experience.
Oh, it's been very special to have you here. Thank you, Sadiq. Thank you so much for bringing your practice and sharing it with us.
Especially in the kitchen.
Hard working.
Hard working, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But more than that, please give our very best to Arcata. I think about everybody all the time. That's a big part of my life still. And I'm so glad you came down from there. Just that is a treat. Yeah. Thank you, Sadiq. And safe journey. That's a long way. Yeah. Well, perhaps we should get back to sitting. We have a little bit more to do. I'll be back in the morning to sit and do the service and the closing remarks and have breakfast with everybody. And then at 1:00, we'll be having a wedding. So, life goes on. Thank you all.
Dharma gates are boundless. I Dharma's way is unsurpassable. I bow to the Calmest.